WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A bipartisan push for new sanctions against Russia. Speaking in Paris after visiting Ukraine, Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal and this man, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
He's playing the game at the peace table. He's preparing for more war. And I think the Senate is fed up with Putin.
Ukraine says Russia launched 479 drones and missiles to attack overnight, and Ukraine shot down 385. Videos ABC News has verified and reports from Ukraine show that Ukrainian drones attacked four Russian military airfields overnight, about 40 planes damaged or destroyed. Hours after the Gaza Health Ministry said Israeli troops opened fire on people at a food distribution center in Rafah, Israeli military officials say that Israeli troops acted to prevent several suspects from approaching troops about half a mile from the aid site. Doctors, witnesses, and others say 200 people were treated for gunshot wounds. This is ABC News. More cross-examination of Mia expected tomorrow at the Sean Diddy Combs sex trafficking and racketeering trial in New York. Mia is a former assistant to Combs. Attorney and ABC News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer.
She's saying that, okay, on Sean Combs' birthday, he sexually assaulted her. But 2 or 3 days later, she's in a photo with Sean Combs on her own personal social media talking about the great times and how he's a mentor and all these other positive things. And the argument I think they're trying to make is, if this person was so horrible to you, why are you doing this?
Smoke from Canadian wildfires is being carried by wind into the upper Midwest. Heavy smoke in North Dakota. An air quality alert in the entire state of Minnesota. A higher concentration of smoke stretching from Minnesota, Iowa, moving farther east toward the Great Lakes by tomorrow afternoon. France is preparing for its most sweeping smoking ban yet. July 1st, smoking outlawed in virtually all outdoor public areas where children may gather. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The House budget bill would reform environmental permitting in Wisconsin and nationwide, potentially streamlining the process and reducing litigation. Here's Brent Pivido.
Under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, large projects with the potential to affect the environment must complete environmental assessments or impact statements. This includes all federal agencies and impacts private development projects that need federal permits. The new provision would create an expedited review process for a fee of 25% on top of the usual cost of a NEPA review. Thomas Hockman with the Foundation for American Innovation says the new rule would also shield projects from NEPA-related litigation.
There are quotes from folks like outgoing EPA General Counsel, who say 90% of the details in a NEPA review are purely there for litigation proofing the document. You can imagine if you only need 10% of the details in that environmental impact statement because you know that you are not at risk of litigation, that is almost certainly a radically faster timeline.
In court, federal agencies have an 80% success rate on appeal, and their environmental reviews are not often changed through litigation. One study of NEPA reviews shows solar energy projects face the highest litigation rate. Frequent litigation was also seen with pipelines, transmission lines, and wind energy projects. Despite shortening the process, Hockman says the reforms may also make projects subject to shifting political agendas.
If you let each administration determine what the cost is and also spend time determining what the cost should be, you can potentially see differences in treatment. So, you know, maybe a Republican administration drags their feet and puts out a really high cost for a wind project that's going through an environmental impact statement. Maybe a Democratic administration does the same for a pipeline that's going through an environmental impact statement.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Brett Pivato. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny but smoky skies overhead for today. Highs in the mid-70s. A northwest wind will develop in the afternoon at 5 to 10. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and upper 50s. Sunshine, still smoky Monday and upper 80s. It's 66 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll check in with State Senator Calda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee on the state budget and also news headlines with folks at Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Another week has passed, and here we are again on the Rational Revolution. You are in the right spot. Thanks for joining us. Hey, I got to tell you right off the bat, you should download the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us, download our app. You can like our show, listen to whatever shows you want, select your favorite ones, text us, text the show. I love that. I love to hear from listeners and all of those wonderful people out there in radio land. And then also, we do have a Facebook page, so like it. You might end up interacting with me on there. I'd love to talk to you, too, there. And, all of our episodes are available online there, wherever you get your podcasts, including this one. This one's going to be a good one. This is important. As you know, we've had friend of the show, Ben Wickler, on a ton. Wonderful guy. Oh, my gosh. A ton of energy. Incredible knowledge. Well, and this is why I asked him when he was here last time, because I heard from a bird he might be thinking of going a different direction. And I said, what's the future for you? And he said, I don't know. Well, the future is he is stepping aside from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. However, he has endorsed a dude, Devin Remiker, and Devin is here with us today. And Devin is a candidate for WISDEM's chair and is going to come talk to us, introduce himself, and say hi to all of you people of Wisconsin. So, Devin, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Really excited to be here. I have been crisscrossing the state, calling folks nonstop when I'm not driving and even while I'm driving. You know, it is all leading up to our state convention in the Wisconsin Dells on June 14th and 15th, where the delegates to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention will choose who the next chair is and who's going to lead us for the next 2 years and have some really big shoes to fill with Ben's departure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is understatement of the year. No, it's crazy. I didn't realize. So you're going around campaigning just like it is a race.
Yeah.
No kidding.
It is. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, if there's one thing I've learned in Wisconsin politics, you don't take any race for granted and you run through the tape. So, you know, all of us candidates have been going to county party meetings, meeting individually with folks, reaching out to people. You know, unlike sort of a normal election, there's no same day registration. So it's kind of a fixed pool of people that you sort of have to make sure you're reaching out to consistently over time. But I feel really good about how my campaign's going. I have a ton of support from all corners of the state. Okay. And I think really what we want to do and what I'm hearing a lot from folks about is that we just want to stay in the fight so that we can make sure we win big in 2026.
Yeah. And I think Ben himself was the one that coined the year-round campaign cycle, right? So this is just another facet of it, huh?
Yeah, well, so actually year-round organizing and sort of the year-round campaign apparatus did actually start prior to Ben's arrival at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. The prior chair, Martha Lanning, started our year-round organizing program in 2017. And, you know, I think under Ben's leadership, we were able to really turbocharge and pour a lot of pour a lot of gas on our work at the party. So now we have year-round voter protection teams. We have year-round support for candidates in spring elections. And state legislative races. So now we do everything year round. But a lot of that mentality started all the way back in 2017.
So as we're talking with Devin Remicker, candidate for WISDEM's chair, talk about your experience. What brought you to this point?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm a lifelong Wisconsinite. I was born and raised in Two Rivers, Trivers, nice. As people like yes. to say. And I went to school. Yeah, I went to school in UW-La Crosse. And, you know, I had most of my career was in Democratic candidates in largely rural areas. First with State Representative Steve Doyle while I was in college. And then with Congressman Ron Kind, who represented the 3rd Congressional District. And yeah, for a long time, I was kind of like, you know, the political operative that didn't work in Madison or Milwaukee, the rural guy, so to speak. And that's sort of the background that I brought with me to DPW in 2018 when I first started working at the party. And since then, I've just, you know, first under Chair Lanning and then under Chair Wickler, I have just really come to believe in what our state party is able to uniquely do better than any other state party in the country to help support our candidates up and down the ballot and really make a change in the state. And ultimately, the reason I hopped in is I just think that I have the experience, the vision, and the leadership necessary to come in on day one, grab the baton from Ben, and run with it.
So you've been at the party for, 7 years of my... You know, fourth grade math is right. what do you do with the party?
Yep. Yeah. So most recently I was on the Biden Harris Harris Walls then coordinated in 2024. So worked at the party, but more on the coordinated capacity, helping to elect Democrats up and down the ballot. And prior to that, I was the executive director. So I was Ben's right-hand man for almost half of his tenure. Yeah, from 21 until the end of 23. So I was his longest serving executive director. So although I said everyone knows that there's big shoes to fill, I know better than anybody else just how big the shoes are.
Yeah, no kidding. And what's Ben going to do now? I just supposed to take some time off and...
I mean, you know, Ben is a guy that loves to be in the fight. I think that even if he's not chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, he's going to be working his tail off to try to make a difference in this state. So I don't think anyone has seen the last of him by any means. But honestly, I think he has really deserved a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breather, a little bit more time with family. He's given us six really amazing, but also really challenging years, starting with a pandemic and then ending with, a presidential campaign and a Supreme Court victory from start to finish. I mean, he has been a trooper.
What a crazy time to be in that space. Holy cow. And so what does the executive director do?
Yeah, so it is a little different for every sort of chair and executive director. You usually kind of create your own sort of balance. But for Ben and I, a lot of what I did was sort of execute on his vision. So, developing sort of the tactical strategy to win the races that we want to win, managing the staff, of which, you know, we had over 200 in 2022 on the total sort of payroll. Yeah, big team. And also managing the budget. So all the money that, you know, we raised, we have to figure out how to spend it most effectively, most efficiently to make the biggest impact possible. And sort of, you know, figuring out how we do that in alignment with our partners, elected officials, grassroots organizations, neighborhood teams, county parties, whole nine yards. That ultimately is sort of what the executive director's job is.
I don't remember who I spoke to about this, but it was discussed about how Ben, what he did really well was he was a prolific fundraiser, but then he also was an amazing campaigner. And it's hard to kind of imagine someone doing both of those roles. What is your vision for the chair of WISDEMS?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that there's perhaps a bit of a misconception about, you know, the fundraising success that Ben has had. And, you know, part of it is he has done a really great job of doing media relentlessly in many different mediums in many different places. And a lot of people think, you know, well, okay, you know, Ben goes on MSNBC a lot. That helps make it rain at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Does it help? Sure, it does. But really where the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's success on fundraising has come from building trust with donors, both large and small. And I think it is, you know, those sort of relationships of trust are things that I've been a part of building in my role as executive director, you know, getting into the weeds to answer questions from donors about how our programs work. You know, a lot of that would come back to me, helping to prep Ben for a lot of those things. You know, I wrote the memos, I did the briefings, a lot of those pieces. So I have a lot of those trusted relationships as well. And then on the small dollar side, I think, you know, we take a very different approach to small dollar, you know, online contributions at the party, where we don't do the, hey, we're going to sell your email to 10 other organizations to make money, and then you're going to get spammed by 50 candidates across the country. We actually have a practice of not doing that. And I think that, you know, knowing how we've oriented that program, how we've treated our donors with respect and appreciation and carrying that forward is going to be hugely helpful. But ultimately, I think that something that is going to be unique about sort of the next configuration for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is that the first vice chair is going to be Secretary of State Sarah Gottlewski. She's
opposed
for the position. The filing deadline has passed. So no matter who is chair, there is going to be, I think, just a fantastic built-in messenger for the party that can do a variety of things just from the jump on day one. And I'm really excited for the opportunity to be able to be quite the dynamic duo with her.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, what you kind of go into this role as someone who's been there for a long time. It's hard to make your own mark on what you want to do. It's, you don't want to be, you know, Devin, the Ben guy. You want to be, you know, Devin Remicker, the chair of WisDems. How is your vision different than what he has, or is there a lot of similarities because one team, one dream kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I definitely think the party is doing more right than wrong.
I agree.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think that
for sure.
You know, yeah. You know, the way that I think about it is that we have a foundation and we're just, you know, we don't want to rip out the slab and pour new concrete. We can build on this foundation. And I think that there is each cycle, there is a learning opportunity, you know, from 2024, there's things we can learn from the Supreme Court race in 25, there's things we can learn. And it's about how you apply those things and be able to sort of make the adjustments we need to what is otherwise a pretty solid machine to keep moving. And, you know, I think that the parties had to pivot before back in 2020. Mm-hmm. We were blindsided with a pandemic right before a spring election. And I was the individual who in like basically, you know, a handful of days retooled our entire organizing apparatus to be able to go virtual and do vote by mail. And, you know, I think that adaptability, flexibility and willing to just embrace change is a key strength of mine and also something this role really needs, because, you know, both the beautiful and the scary thing about politics and campaigns is all it takes is a moment and the entire world has to change around it. And I think that as I look now, you know, really what we are seeing is energy and enthusiasm across the state. And it's just really important that our party cast as wide a net as possible and have really strong, robust county party infrastructure, because that is usually the first place people go when they want to get involved in a party organization, to be able to bring those folks in so that, you know, as they're taking action now, they are ready to go in 2026 in all the critical elections and all the critical races we have to win. And that is really, I think, the big change that we need to make this year is focusing on strengthening from the bottom up, not just at the state party, but at our party units all across the state.
Yeah, and that's important. And I am going to talk about that. We got a minute left here before the break. But, you know, cast as wide a net as possible. I'm that guy, you know, former chairman of a Republican Party who really... I was always a pretty liberal Republican, but still, I mean, there's so much outreach that we have to do. And I think, you know, the big tent, I've said this before, the big tent is not with the Republican Party right now. The big tent is on our side. And I do want to hit on that and how we can grow that, because I think Ben understood that. And that's something that we can do even more of. We're on the Rational Revolution. We're talking to Devin Remicker, candidate for WisDems chair. You're going to want to hear what he's got to say here coming up. We'll be right back.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 2nd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We're talking with Devin Remicker. He is running for Democratic Party Wisconsin chair. It's interesting how, like, all these races, I mean, this is a big deal. You know, it's a huge position of importance. And we were kind of talking to the other side of the break about when we had to pivot during COVID and all of this. A lot of the organizers that I spoke with during the last presidential campaign, they felt that that there was a lot of momentum because they saw Democratic organizers on the streets everywhere. We were everywhere, and they didn't see the Trump people out there. And I think there was a lot of, and I don't know the numbers, but that's some of the feedback that I got from the people that were on the street. And oh my God, we're everywhere. They're nowhere. And they ended up winning. What do you take from that? And how critical is the role of the Wisdem's chair to set that strategy for, okay, this is, we got to reelect Tony Evers if he's doing it. This is how we're going to do it. How would you lay that strategy out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, it's certainly, as someone who was on the campaign, I always thought that it was going to be neck and neck in a very close election here in Wisconsin. And, you know, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't getting a little excited once I saw, you know, like 3,000 people show up to a rally in Little Chute, Wisconsin. You know, like that is, when you look at where, you know, like that was something special. Yeah. I think that, what it was that Republicans were communicating and they were doing things. It just wasn't in places that were immediately visible to us. You know, it may not have been on the street, but also a lot of people's communication is done digitally now. And I think that that is, you know, a territory where Democrats have not been able to get in the fights as much as we have. I think we have an excellent organizing team that does an excellent job of all the sort of on the ground campaign work that we think of. And we need to keep that going. But we also need to do more than just knock on doors. You know, as part of my hometown, Facebook feed, I see, like the news and information page for Two Rivers, just full of people pushing, you know, Republican propaganda constantly down people's throats, just 24/7. You can't even, you know, post anything innocuous without it being, you know, trolled or spammed in some sort of way. But this sort of stuff has a real chilling effect, and it has a persuasive effect. If people think everyone around them is supporting this candidate, it both creates permission when you have someone who is basically subverting democracy to still support them. And it also makes Democrats who might raise their hand and say, hey, this isn't okay, a lot less willing to do that because they don't want to deal with the harassment. They don't want to deal with the noise. They don't want to deal with it. And I think that this is, you know, sort of a key thing is how do we build upon, you know, what is already a fantastic organizing operation to also make sure that we are reaching people in the digital space. And I think that that is going to be a central focus of how we move forward.
It really is insane because, you know, when I was chair of the Republican Party, one of the things that we talked about was how the Democratic apparatus was so wrapped up and had that digital space down when Barack Obama was running and all of that. I mean, I was chair during Obama and Mitt Romney, and that was one of the things where people kept saying, oh, well, they own digital and we have to get better at that. How did we go from the Democrats owning the digital space to now a place where we're behind?
Yeah, well, I think there's probably a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you know, at that time, it's easy to, I think, forget that not everyone had a smartphone. Not everyone was on Facebook. Yeah. You know, a lot of social media was still in its infancy in 2012. And now everyone's on it. You know, grandma has a Facebook. And I think that it has sort of changed the overall balance of the ecosystem. But I think at the same time, Democrats sort of took for granted the support of young people. And, you know, if you sort of look at the major drivers of engagement in the digital space, it is definitely sort of overweighted to young people and what they talk about, what issues they're invested in. And I think that by sort of seeding that ground, by taking those voters for granted, or not being a party that they could see themselves in, I think that that really, really hurt us. And a lot of the young folks that were engaging on social media, you know, just weren't fully bought in on the campaign in the same way that they might have been for President Obama in 2012. So I think that that sort of double whammy really hit us. And, you know, we'll give Republicans credit. They really intentionally invested in reaching young people. I mean, they set up an entire apparatus and ecosystem to sort of, you know, try to push on them their own propaganda. And I think it did make a difference.
It is wild to me how, you know, I see some of the numbers for young people going, yeah, like youth would always go to the left. And now, like, that's in question. That's wild to me.
It is. It really is. You know, and I think that it's a really interesting dynamic. You know, I think that there's definitely a gender divide amongst young voters. But, you know, even that doesn't universally explain the trend. I mean, you look at UW La Crosse, obviously, which I'm pretty familiar with. You know, we've lost one of the biggest student wards in that campus.
What?
However, in the, for real. Wow. In the spring election, we won it again quite handily. And I think the difference is that there were young men in particular that showed up to vote in 2024 that probably weren't as tuned into the Supreme Court race. I think that is responsible for a lot of what took us by surprise. And in some ways, 2020, you know, might have been lulled us into a false sense of security about where young folks were at because of a lot of the campuses in the state, students went home. Wisconsin was kind of getting rocked by a COVID wave right towards the election. And, you know, I think it may have led to results that seemed more optimistic than they actually were. And it finally kind of caught up to us in this higher turnout presidential election in 2024.
We're going to continue this discussion here. We've got one more segment here with Devin Remiker, candidate for WISDEM's chair. Stick around. We're going to talk about what do we do next on the Rational Revolution. We'll see you in a little bit.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A bipartisan push for new sanctions against Russia. Speaking in Paris after visiting Ukraine, Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal and this man, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
He's playing the game at the peace table. He's preparing for more war. And I think the Senate is fed up with Putin.
Ukraine says Russia launched 479 drones and missiles to attack overnight, and Ukraine shot down 385. Videos ABC News has verified and reports from Ukraine show that Ukrainian drones attacked four Russian military airfields overnight, about 40 planes damaged or destroyed. Hours after the Gaza Health Ministry said Israeli troops opened fire on people at a food distribution center in Rafah, Israeli military officials say that Israeli troops acted to prevent several suspects from approaching troops about half a mile from the aid site. Doctors, witnesses, and others say 200 people were treated for gunshot wounds. This is ABC News.
The crew clobbers the Phillies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Phillies 17-7 at Citizens Bank Park. Milwaukee was leading 12-1 by the end of the fourth. Jackson Churio, four hits, including one home run, five runs scored. Reese Hoskins, a pair of home runs, six runs batted in against his former team, the Phillies.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys on, especially as an offense and with our speed. That puts a ton of pressure on the pitchers to make quality pitches, but also pay attention to what's going on the bases. But you know, for us to be able to give the bullpen a little bit of a rest after what they've done for us this past month is huge.
The Brewers now 31-28, 5.5 games behind the Cubs. The series wrapping up today. We'll have a full recap tonight. In golf, the final round of the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills today. NBA, the Pacers eliminate the Knicks last night, 125-108, to advance to the NBA Finals. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hey ho, jazz fans. It's summer, and there's nothing better than outdoor jazz in the summertime in Wisconsin. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Madison Jazz Festival from June 5th through the 15th. This year's attractions include Emma Dayhuff, the Edwin Doherty Five-Tet, the Emmy Castro Peruvian Jazz Quintet, the Sweet Tooth Jazz Band, and check out Jazz Sunday at the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Aw, yeah. And if you're up in northeast Wisconsin, check out Sundrop Days. Shauna was known for its delicious Sundrop manufacturing and distribution center. The annual festival is held the first week of June every year and kicks off this coming Friday. There's stuff for kids, crafts, live music, and of course, some dynamite soda. That's right, folks. Finally, there is a festival centered around a delicious soft drink, especially the real sugar version in a glass bottle, baby. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Buying a home is a lot like eating pistachios. Some deals pop right open, some take a little effort, and some, well, some make you want to grab a hammer. That's why you need Aaron Weber Group.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny, but smoky skies overhead for today. Highs in the mid-70s. A northwest wind will develop in the afternoon at 5 to 10. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and upper 50s. Sunshine, still smoky Monday and upper 80s. It's 66 at our studios.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial. commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales at WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
Sales at WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales at WMDXradio.com.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to disability advocate Adam Brabender and Austin Galante, filmmaker.
He's got a movie called Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Wrestling Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We are talking with a cool dude, new friend, Devin Remicker, candidate for WISDEM's chair. If you like what you hear and you want to listen to it again, download that Civic Media app. You can text in. I'd love to hear from you. Like the show on Facebook, all that good stuff. And I do want to make clear, too. We talk about, I've gushed about Ben Wickler and his vision and all the things that he's done. I also want to make very, very clear that he has endorsed you. He has said himself that that you are the best candidate. There are other people running. We don't need to talk about them. But I trust Ben, and I hope the people that are voting do as well. So, I do want to recognize that as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, I think a lot of people, trust him. And ultimately, I have a broad coalition of support, whether it's Ben, leaders Hesselbein and Neubauer from the Assembly and the Senate, mm-hmm. Representative Quentin Moore, who just endorsed me on Sunday.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
I think it is really important that... Oh, thank you.
I've been trying to get her on the show. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll drop her a line.
Yes,
see what
do
we can
that.
Do.
Jeez.
She's the best. Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think that is like really what... whether it is elected officials, whether it is party leaders, over 25 county party chairs and vice chairs from all around the state. I think that we just need to make sure that we come out of this process just as united as we were at the start. And, the other guys running for this position, they are great guys. I think we're running a very respectful campaign. I think we're all very conscious of the fact that none of us is anybody's enemy, and we have to be united in 2026. And I think it's, refreshing to see a party able to, handle its business with respect.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because, locally here in Northeast Wisconsin, there was a chairman of the 8th Congressional, just a hot garbage dumpster fire. I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, the ACD Republicans, they got a lot of stuff going on. It's quite dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got Charlie Kirk and his organization is kind of trying to take over and all that stuff. But I want to touch on this because this is near and dear to my heart. Is this whole Big Tent thing. That's what brought me here. I was always a never Trump Republican, and I think so often you see people who are never Trump Republicans, they're not in the party anymore. I had lunch with Adam Kinzinger, and I don't know if I can say this, but one of the things that he said, we talked about that I joined the party, and his response was, yeah, I probably got to do that too. And it's the coalition that can be built here is huge to be able to reach out to the people like me, like Kinzinger, and give them a home. What is the plan for that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I was talking with Tracy Mangold about this as well during the course of me running for this. And I'd love to have a more sort of intentional space held within the Democratic Party for folks that might come from a sort of a legacy Republican background of some sort and make it really clear that there is space within our party. And I'll be honest, I think that a place where our party has fallen short is that I think oftentimes people feel like there isn't space.
Right.
That we are very strictly adherent to everything. And if you don't check one of our boxes, you're, you know, some sort of evil person who shouldn't be welcome into the fold. And, you know, to me, I think our challenge here in Wisconsin is largely to leave space for people to join us instead of, you know, trying to beat them over the head with talking points and, you know, argue them into submission about how we are righteous as the Democratic Party. I think that part of what we need to do is get out of our own way and, like, you know, present people information, give people an understanding of what's at stake and who's on whose side, and then take a step back and have them come towards us as opposed to trying to drag them along. And I think that the manner in which we communicate, how we sort of deliver that message, like, to me, getting hung up on the words, the precise words that we say is often a trap that doesn't yield that many results. Most of the time, it's how we say it, who says it, where you say it, and how often you say it, and if people believe you, if they think you're full of crap.
Yeah, you know, any time I have a conversation with someone that is like a past life me, you know, I there are some untouchables. Like, if you don't believe in marriage equality, well, if you don't believe in, you know, women's rights, well, but most people do. And, you know, some people will say, well, you know, I'm a Republican because I believe in, you know, not spending more than what you have. And it's like, well, so do the Democrats. I mean, you know, look at who's fighting for fiscal responsibility right now. It's not the right. And being able to have, you know, an open dialogue and a welcoming place of, honey, you're already here. You'll realize it in a little bit, you know, and just have someone who is a spokesperson of that has been there to be able to articulate, it's okay. But this is a safe place to be. The big tent, it is not with the Republican Party anymore. It's not, because they're Trumpers or they're not. And that is the litmus test. Do you support this? No. Right. All right. Get out. Where it's here, there is, you know, there was an old chairman, Tom Sieber, who's a good friend of mine. He's the chairman of the Democratic Party of Brown County. And he said, you know, if you're with me on 75-80% of the stuff, that's a good Democrat. And I would love to see a place where we really continue to build on outreach, because, I mean, it was a razor's edge here in the last election. And I think we're going to need that in for Tony's reelection.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think the governor does a fantastic job of, you know, really, you know, reaching out to folks all across the state, focusing on issues that actually matter to Wisconsinites. And I think that we just need to make sure that's reflected in all the work we do at the party. And, like, to me, you know, the mission here is not to be a perpetual battleground. It's not to be a purple state.
Yeah.
It's to be a blue state. Like, that's the mark of success for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. But to get there, we're going to have to win back some people we've lost.
Yeah. You said earlier, you cast as wide a net as possible. I love that. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, where are you on the political spectrum, from, like, on the yardstick of, like, AOC to Bart Stupak? Where would Devin Remiker be?
That's a good question. I find it a little hard to rate myself. You know, I definitely, you know, to me, the most important thing about our politics and our party is the fight to preserve our democracy.
Yes.
You know, when I worked for Congressman Kind, you know, he's a very moderate bipartisan guy. And, you know, I think that as I sort of went through the experience in 2020, I was Biden's recount director here in the state as well.
Oh, wow.
What used to be the Republican Party that I thought were, you know, people that generally believed in, you know, in our country and the democratic project that we were undertaking here, really changed into something that I view as a core threat to our democracy. And I sort of view myself largely, and through my work and what keeps me going, as doing what I can to preserve, you know, both our nation, our state, and advance policies that improve people's lives. And, you know, I find it a little bit hard to rate myself on a spectrum, because, you know, my focus is usually on winning elections and letting elected officials figure out what's realistic in their policies. But I do know that central to my being is being in this fight and doing everything we can to make sure that we have a next election.
What a crazy thing to I mean, that's a perfect answer because, yeah. I mean, it really is. It's not about, you know, stuffiness of you don't believe this or you don't, you know, litmus tests. It's really about, yeah, you're right. This is about, I mean, democracy's on the table. Really. I mean, it is.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I think we have to send a clear message in 2026 in this state, across the country. And we can't be the frog that got boiled alive. Like we have to make sure that there is a clear signal and that we win offices up and down the ballot, and show that, you know, we are not going to go quietly.
What does WIS Dems have to do to win elections? I mean, there's so, especially with statewide stuff, you know, Republicans say, oh, they focus on is Madison and Milwaukee, and that's all the, you know, what, how do we win in 2026?
Yeah, well, I think that right now, as I said earlier, we need to cast as wide a net as possible. Yeah. I think folks that are taking action, showing up to protest, it's great. Make sure your voice is heard, especially when there's not an election on the table. But I've seen this happen so many times that after people protest 10 times, they look around and are like, well, what else do you know? This is, I don't know what we're doing here. And we need to make sure that those folks come with us right next year so that we can take all the energy and point it like a laser at, you know, making sure that we take down Rebecca Bradley in the Supreme Court election, in the spring, that we elect local candidates up and down the ballot. I mean, that's the thing. There's all this attention always on national politics and, you know, the House, the Senate, the presidency. But the reality is the politics that actually impact people's lives the most are state and local government. Mm-hmm. And those seats are really, really important. So I think supporting good candidates for those offices. And then we have to win the trifecta. So we, hopefully, knock on wood, we're reelecting Governor Evers. And then we are helping to make sure that we have Speaker Neubauer and Senate Leader Hasselbein that can be good partners to him in the legislature. And, you know, we finally have fair maps at the right time that, you know, this is now a real possibility in this state. And I think that all of this is doable. And as a bonus, we can maybe even make Speaker Jeffries in the House nationally with winning some House seats here in Wisconsin. So I think that this is, you know, how the party does that, you know, can always shape and change. But at the end of the day, it's about mobilizing folks through organizing. It's about communicating a message. And it's about raising the resources we need to fund those things and support our candidates directly where we can do so.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've had a Democratic majority, and it, I mean, it really is. It's not pipe dream anymore. I mean, it could happen in a couple years. So if people want to support you, what can they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're a delegate to the convention, you can make sure that you show up by 10 a.m. on Sunday to get your credentials and cast your vote. If you would like to support me, but you aren't a delegate, you can go to devinforchair.com. You can communicate with me through there, send an email. Even if you're not a delegate to the convention, I still really appreciate support from folks. And, you know, oftentimes people's names can make a difference to other folks who may be delegates making a decision. And if you'd like, you can also donate on the website, devinforchair.com. And, you know, we're coming up on it. We're 2 weeks out, so it's going to be a rush to the finish.
Yeah, what an exciting one. Count me in. Put my name down. I would love to see you take this thing and bring it home and help us win some darn elections. You know, it's exciting, yeah. But
big. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a big hat, and I appreciate you stepping up to do something that's really, really hard. So don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back.
I'd love to be back.
Thank you. So good luck. If there's something I could do to help, please let me know. We've got just a couple seconds left. So again, Devin Remicker, candidate for WIS Dems chair. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, you really as well. It. We'll have you back soon, and stick around for my final thoughts.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Friday nights are for fish fry at the Lazy Yolf Lounge. Enjoy baked or fried cod, deep fried bluegill and lake perch, warm bread out of the oven with some tasty side dishes. Plus, the Lazy Yolf Lounge is a great place for lunch with great daily specials, soups made from scratch, and fast, friendly service. The Lazy Yolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyYolfLounge.com.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Found an injured, sick, or orphaned wild animal? Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center can help. Call 608-287-3235 or visit giveshelter.org/wildlife for what to do next.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I appreciate everyone listening. This is such an honor to do. You know, it really is. I thank you, everyone that listens. Thank you, Civic Media, for allowing this to happen. And yeah, this is awesome. Conrad, Amanda, Tata, all the producers and everyone that's involved in this. This is really, really cool. Devin Remiker, that was interesting. You know, I mean, this is it's a time for change in so many facets of politics, from, you know, the disaster we had with the Trump administration that happens every freaking day. Anyone want a 747, by the way? I'm like, that's can we do that? I would like a jumbo jet. See if we can make a deal happen. Yeah, that'd be great. But I think Devin absolutely would be the right person to get that done. I appreciate that he knows, you know, in the Rational Revolution here, we really talk about, you know, this is not about what's left versus what's right. It's about what's right versus what's wrong. And casting a wide net, getting people to bring them into the tent, I think is the right message for now, but it's also the right message for many years down the road. I really do. And I'm encouraged by what he said and by the things that he talked about. He's obviously the right guy and the right person
to bring Wiss Dems into more victories coming up. I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about perspective. I do this, I don't know, I ramble on, you know, for the last segment here. But I'd love to hear some feedback from you. So download that Civic Media app, text in, all that stuff. I don't talk about family stuff a lot, but I vent, and this is kind of like therapy for me too. But we're experiencing in our family a loss. When we record this right now, it's my wife's grandmother, who is really a towering figure in her life, and she's a wonderful woman. And as we're recording this, she has precious few moments left, and so we're trying to, you know, figure out what that all means for everybody, and trying to make sure that everyone is able to, you know, say hello or goodbye, really. And it's hard, man. Like, this woman has meant a lot to my wife, and my wife hasn't always, you know, she's just been wonderful. And Thelma is her name, and she's had a tough go too. And the things that she's had to overcome with, you know, she lost her first husband at a relatively young age and had to figure out life basically on her own. You know, then she married another guy that my wife affectionately calls Grandpa, and he passed away. And then she married another guy, and he passed. She's had to outlive three husbands, and she came through that through her faith and through friends and through just being one badass woman. And despite all of those tough things, she's really maintained a perspective of positivity and of love and all of that. And so, like, you know, I look at how we live our lives, and especially when it comes down to what happens when we go. And, you know, I'm not a huge religious person. I don't know. I think a lot of these things we construct some of these religions to really deal with a difficult question of, like, is this it? What we're doing now, what we're talking about here, when we punch our clocks, when we go home, and this is it, really. And to be part of this journey with Thelma and seeing the impacts, you know, my wife is a strong person. I'll ask her, she could be in the middle of getting her right arm amputated, and how are you doing? I'm fine. You know, she's such a stalwart, stoic person, but I know she's hurting, because this is someone who has meant the absolute world to her whole life. And to now see this moment that she says, oh, we were prepared for it. Yeah, you can say that. But it still hurts. So if you do text, I mean, I'd love to read my wife some positive stuff from the listeners out there, because that would mean a lot. But I think the message for this is, live your life like Thelma. Love people. Be kind. You know, don't judge. Be a badass, you know? And just don't ever give up on anything, regardless of what you're going through, no matter how difficult it is, no matter where you are, no matter what. Just put one foot in front of the other and don't give up. You know, she grew up in a place called Port Oneida. I didn't grow up. Her and her husband lived there. Port Oneida is like Heritage Hill here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's a national park now, next to Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan. And my mother-in-law talks about how she grew up and she would open the windows and she would hear the waves of Lake Michigan lapping the shores of the beach below. And like, it's just she's a wonderful woman, and she'll be so missed, and she lived an incredible life. So live life like Thelma. That's my message for today. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much. We'll see you next week on the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. The U.S. Senate is fed up with Putin. Those words from Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican, on a bipartisan effort for new sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine.
The Senate and the House of Representatives in the next 2 weeks will be moving forward with a sanction bill that's bone-crushing.
Graham in Paris after visiting Ukraine with Senator Richard Blumenthal, Connecticut Democrat. Videos ABC News has verified and reports from Ukraine show that Ukrainian drones attacked four Russian military airfields overnight, about 40 planes damaged or destroyed. Ukraine-Russia talks resume in Istanbul tomorrow. The Gaza Health Ministry said Israeli troops opened fire on people at a food distribution center in Rafah today. Israeli military officials say Israeli troops acted to prevent several suspects from approaching. Gaza Hospital reports 20 dead, over 200 others injured. This is ABC News.